This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Andy Schell, my good friend, good to have you here. And I am so excited. We'll do a little talking about profitability, the Profit Doctor segment, and then we're going to roll right into my favorite topic where you and I just hours blink by. We only have minutes today,
absolutely,
but we're hours blink by when we talk about leadership strategy and all the good stuff we're going to talk about. So let's start off with the Profit Doctor segment, and then let's roll right into leadership.
Sure, of course, absolutely. And then we could, in the middle of all that, circle back to Alan's comment about surveys. So
yes,
starting with profit, though, as you requested. So today is the 10th. Today is June the 10th. So what does that mean? Today is June the 10th. So that means that we know how many loans we closed in May. And if we're doing 70 or less loans a month, we should be knowing what our profitability was. We should know our profit per branch, our profit per originator, our profit by product, our revenue for each product type, our borrowing levels for every warehouse line lender. And you need that information because that then gives you a basis for making decisions. It also gives you information about your activity so you can confirm if your volume in May was what you were expecting, if the mix of product has changed, because that can affect cash flow. You know, if you get you think you're going to do $30 million of FHA and you do $30 million of conventional, well, your revenue just dropped by a point because the gain on sale is usually about a point less with conventional versus FHA. So that means that your activity to originate the loans was not substantially different. The argument is that FHAs are a little harder to process, but sometimes that's not that big of a deal. The commission is the same. So your costs are the same, but your revenues dropped simply because you had a different product mix. So you got to know this stuff. And then by knowing that you had a product mix change, which actually in the cash flow side of this, we should be monitoring every week because it affects what's going to happen next. When our pipeline starts filling up and we expected a 50-50 split conventional FHA and all of a sudden it's 70, 80, 90% FHA, we better pay attention to that because that means when those loans close, we're not going to have as much cash as we thought we were going to have. So we have to predict that. We have to anticipate that. We have to have a cash flow forecast that shows us the impacts looking forward 30, 60, 90 days based on anticipated closings and estimating the product mix because the gain on sales are different. You can even have this issue happen among one company that's in multiple states where, like if you're in rural Utah with $200,000 loan balances and you're also in Seattle with $500,000 loan balances, just those two differences will affect the gain on sale because you have a higher gain on sale in Utah because the loan balances are lower, but the cost of origination is the same. So lots to consider, lots to keep up with. You gotta put your finger on the pulse and understand these differences to really effectively manage your business.
That is so true. These little nuances, they're not so much nuances, but it's kind of basic stuff, but people treat them like nuances. It's not.
I'll give you another example. So let's say you've got a Utah office with $200,000 loan balance and a Seattle office with $500,000 loan balances. And one of the things that you're measuring of your two offices is units per originator. Well, if you blend the numbers together and say, oh, look, we have 2.4 loans per originator, that is flawed at its core. Because in Utah, or you could be in Texas for that matter, low balance markets, originator has to do three or four loans just to make ends meet. Whereas in Seattle, you know, they could do one or two and be okay. So you can't look at just these rules of thumb and say, everybody does two loans a month, we're good. That's not true. You're in Texas and every originator's maybe doing two loans, you're failing. You're in Seattle and everybody's doing two loans, you're probably doing okay. So you've got to consider the impact of this stuff and really drill down and understand the impact it's having on your business.
So important. Good stuff, Andy. Well, that wraps up the first half of our topic. That, by the way, is Profit Doctor Andy Schell, CPA, CFF, CMB, now almost to have his PhD. Apartment Managing Partner at mbs-team.com. Andy, good job.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dave. You're very kind.
Yeah, well, you've got full of wisdom, and I appreciate the having the profit doctor. I remember back in the old days, I had to talk you into like a podcast. Like, what's that? 10 years ago. Can you believe that? Now you're one of the stars, but you've hung in here the whole time, and persistence and consistency is one of the keys to success. I appreciate that about you so much. Thanks for being
here. Well, that's an interesting point. That leads into some of the management, because it's not about saying no. It's about saying, help me understand. So when you said to me 10 years ago, let's do a podcast, and rather than saying, "Ah, Dave, that's another one of your dumb ideas," I would never say that, by the way, but I would say, huh, well, I don't see it, but I trust you, and I believe in you, so help me understand what you're seeing. Help me understand
what
this is.
That's exactly
what you do. But that's what leaders need to do. You should. People walk into your room, your office, you shouldn't say, "Oh, that's a stupid idea." You should say, help me understand. That's part of the Socratic process as well, that they were just, the MBA was just talking about applying the Socratic process.
Well, by the way, before we forget, and you had mentioned in your segment, Profit Doctor segment, about Alan's comment. You wanted to comment about the
survey.
Do you want to jump in and do that real quick?
Yeah, I'll do it real quick. So you own you're the store manager of a great big grocery store. You know, if you're in the South or Texas, as HEB, it's Kroger. It could be Safeway. So you've got a great big grocery store, and you're walking down the aisle, and you see a shopper, and you walk up to him, and you say, "Do you like this brand of coffee?" And they go, "Oh, no, I hate it." So you then say, okay, you tell the store manager, take all of that coffee off the shelf. That person doesn't like it, remove it. As a matter of fact, remove it from the entire chain of stores. Remove that coffee brand because that person doesn't like it. That's insane. We would never really do that. We would want to make certain that we've got a cross-section of shoppers and that we listen to as many of them as we can. We identify a sample that really represents the shoppers in that market because we want to have a really good basis for making a decision about preferences like that, like which coffee to have. That's the same thing with a survey. When you apply a survey to customers, you are unlikely to get an accurate representation unless you have a legitimate sample. And a sample is simply a segment of the population, of your shoppers, not everybody, but whoever your likely customers are. And there's lots of ways to do this. But it's really, really important if you do launch a survey out to a series of past closed loans that you have some basis to know, do the questions make sense? Is your response rate, how much of a response rate is enough for the results to be validated? And then when you get the numbers, then you run some more statistics to it and you come up with ideas. So surveys are super, super powerful, and they're super awesome ways to get your finger on the pulse of the customer. But it's not just a random thing. You can't just throw out and ask two people, what do you think, and make a decision about that. You have to have a legitimate sample that is, as Scott Gordon was talking earlier, the scientific process. Part of the scientific process is this data validation effort, and that's how that all works. That's how we call it. That's why what I'm doing in my doctorate is basically the science of business. We're applying the scientific process to all aspects of business. That includes survey data. So surveys are awesome, but just be aware, it's not just asking two people or five people. You got to ask the right amount of people based on the population. So there's more to it.
So good.
I'll stop there.
It's good. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, that wraps up the first half of the program, and now it's time to get into the Hot Topic segment. And we're continuing last week's roundtable discussion about things that we're seeing going on in the industry.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' on Lending, and here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Black Knight, Open Mortgage, Finastra, Resex, Warehouse Lending, a division of United Bank. So good to have them as our newest sponsor. The MBA, Lenders One, and the Mortgage Collaborative, the two co-ops in our advertising group, as well as Velma, Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard.